Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And welcome back to The Early Edge, powered by Sportsline, because this is your college football playoff and New Year's Six preview special. You see that man right there? That's Emory Hunt. You see that man right there? That's EC Eric Cohen. I'm Chip Patterson, and we are going to, over the next 30, 45 minutes, be breaking down every single one of the New Year's Six and college football playoff games. We've got best bets. We've got preview angles. We spend all season diving in on these teams, and now we get to finally cash in when it counts the most. So let's get right into it. We are going to begin with Friday night, gentlemen, at the Cotton Bowl, because it's our first New Year's Six bowl game. And ooh, baby, we've got a little bit of line movement because Ohio State, they got on the plane. They were 1-point favorite. They got off the plane. What's that I see with my eyes here? Oh, I didn't think that they were going to play. Eric Cohen, talk to me right now. What's your best bet for this game?
Yeah, Chip, I'll tell you what. I absolutely love the Buckeyes here. I know the line, when I got it on the Sportsline site, it was -1. Now it's up to -3. Listen, this is Devin Brown's audition for a team. You know, if a lot of the pieces return next year, they could be preseason number 1, number 2. We'll see what your rankings look like after the year. We don't know who's opting out for OSU. I would assume Marvin Harrison is gone, but everybody else seems like they're coming back. Listen, this defense only gave up 11 points per game this season. They were top 4 in all major categories. Now, in Ryan Day's tenure, OSU has lost to Clemson in the CFP, Alabama in the Natty, Oregon at home, that was a bad one, Georgia, and then Michigan 3 times. I'd be surprised if he loses to this iteration of Missouri, who didn't have a big win outside of Columbia. So, Chip, I'm going Ohio State 24, Missouri 20. We're covering that line. I liked it better at -1, but I'll still play it at -3.
But, Emory, this is not your father's Missouri. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz has gotten this roster and he's gotten this team to a place where they're having one of their most successful seasons since Gary Pinkel was leading them to division titles in the early SEC era. How are you looking at this one? What's your best bet for the game?
You know, it's funny. I feel like this turnaround for Missouri started last year against Arkansas. Once they beat Arkansas, then you saw a different vibe with this team. They carried it over into this year. And I just like the way they play ball because I've been a big fan of Brady Cook and how he throws the football. You talk about the tailback Schrader and what he has been able to do this season. He's much better this season than he was last year when he got acclimated to big-time Power 5 football. And this defense is opportunistic, and they're facing an inexperienced quarterback. I like Missouri to win straight up because when you factor in guys that are still playing for Missouri, facing a team that everyone puts in the top 4, and this is a brand name, this is a chance to show people, hey, we're Missouri. Coming into next year, we're going to have some smoke with us. So I like Missouri to go out here and win straight up. This is the thing about these bowl games. You got to find out who really wants it a little bit more. I think Missouri fits that MO to a T here, so I'm going with the Tigers.
I mean, look, there is – when we look back at bowl game results, no one actually has in their mind who opted out. So Marvin Harrison Jr. or no Marvin Harrison Jr., if Missouri's got a bowl win over the Ohio State University, then all of a sudden you're going to be a little excited about it.
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Give me the Buckeyes! I'm going to take all those points. So I think that the worst thing for Ryan Day, like we want to talk about motivation, the worst thing for Ryan Day would be to follow up losing to Michigan, a team that irks Ohio State fans whenever they take a loss to losing to a Missouri program that Ohio State fans think they are better than. They think they have more championships. They think that they should always beat Missouri. They look down at this former Big 12 program. And for them to be able to win this game by any margin, I think is important. I do think that it has been notable. Some of the players who appear like they're going to get out there and suit up. So I'm with EC on this one. I'm going to take the Buckeyes and I'll lay the 3 points again. This is a Friday night game for the Cotton Bowl, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Yes, EC.
Yeah, Chip, so here's a question. You mentioned about Ryan Day, and I think that's a great point. If they were to lose this game, what are the odds that Ryan Day sniffs around NFL jobs?
I think that the odds are that Ryan Day's camp has open ears. Emery, would you agree with that?
Oh, especially when you think about in Chicago, maybe there's an OC change. Would you go from being a college head coach to an NFL OC if you get to work with a guy that you've had success with? So there's definitely opportunities. Even in Carolina, there's opportunity. So, yeah, if he loses this ball game, definitely something that you should keep your eye on.
Well, like
yeah,
Ryan Day needs to maintain leverage. Like right. Ryan Day needs to maintain leverage against an Ohio State administration that, you know, may or may not be hearing from the fringiest. Because when we had the conversation the first time that it was like, hey, are Ohio State fans mad with Ryan Day? The logical, sensible response is look at how many games this man has won, a lot, and look how many games this man has lost, a few. It is absurd to think that this guy has any kind of hot seat. And while he does not have a hot seat, he has real job pressure that is not in line with his win-loss record and is totally tied to three straight losses to Michigan. When you are in that position, if you feel underappreciated, hell yeah, you listen to the NFL because that at least gives you that good landing spot or at a minimum some leverage in the situation.
All right, Chip, so you come up with the preseason top 25s like in right after the national championship game, right?
Correct.
So right now, assuming Ohio State brings back who you would think they would bring back, they win this game, what range would you have them in? Would you have them top three next year with Devin Brown as the starting quarterback or a little bit lower?
No lower than six. I think that I think Ohio State, based on year over year talent, they recruit, you know, it's Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, like those three programs based on the way that they stack talented classes. And it's another reason why, even if there are opt-outs, I mean, Emery can tell you about Carnell Tate, like, or Brandon Ennis, or like any of these like young studs that have just been waiting to get after it, who I think could make an appearance in this bowl game. Keep an eye on Will Howard, the former Kansas State quarterback, who I think could be Ohio State, Miami, or NFL at this point. So that would be another one that could change up the calculus. But Devin Brown could be good. We'll see. All right, let's turn our attention to Saturday. This will be Saturday, December 30th, getting things started in the Peach Bowl. Noon kickoff, a little bit of an early start for what's a banger of a matchup, Ole Miss and Penn State. Now, if you were to take a team in terms of how good they were this season and then also how much availability they have in terms of not having as many opt-outs, Ole Miss and Penn State might be the best combination, right? The teams are good. It looks like our availability reports are pretty strong. Emery, when you're looking at Ole Miss and Penn State, spread around 4.5, over under 48.5. How are you going to play this game?
Landing with Penn State. And for me, it's about O-line, D-line play. And that's where Penn State has won and will win this ball game, in my opinion. You talk about a team that's dominant on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Now, granted, you have to worry about if they're going to open up the playbook, are they going to let Drew Aller throw the football all over the yard? But we do know about them. They can line up and run downhill against anybody they face. And that's going to be how they're going to slow this pace down, keep Ole Miss offense off the field, and force him into a one-dimensional mode. I just like the way Penn State plays team defense and an offense. They have enough, in my opinion, to play a one-dimensional game. Take your timely shots downfield. I think they could win this one in cover as well.
EC?
All right, so this one I'm going to put – I got a couple of leans here, Chip. I'm going Penn State with the 4.5, though not all that confident, and under 48.5. So James Franklin, as we know, is an expert in covering games that don't mean a whole lot. They're 4-0-1 against the spread in their last five bowl games, and 16-4-1 as a favorite in the last 2 years. Listen, they were 9-1 against the spread this season against teams not named Ohio State or Michigan. They know how to beat not great teams. Now, Ole Miss is pretty good, don't get me wrong, but I expect Penn State somehow to slow this game down and avoid getting into a shootout, because if so, Lane Kiffin's getting a W. Once again, I am not confident in this pick. I'm not going to hammer it. I'm not going to throw my house on it. Penn State 23, Ole Miss 17, Chip.
Oh, I got way more confidence. The line's too little. Let's go. All right, we're going buckle up over two words, kitchen sink. That's what Lane Kiffin is throwing at this Penn State defense, which did just lose defensive coordinator Manny Diaz. How do you get on the other side of a defensive pass rush, which won't have Chop Robinson? You figure out ways to get that counter, right? You get them to send the blitz. You hit the wide open play. I trust Lane Kiffin to be able to dial up enough. And while I've been looking, Walter Nolan, yeah, he's coming to Ole Miss next year. Ooh, Princely's coming next year. I mean, right now the Rebs are killing it in the transfer portal to address the defense, because the defense on the low was a little bit suspect this year. I think that the better teams, I mean, hello, look at the LSU game. The better teams are really able to cook this Ole Miss defense. And so when I've got the combination of Lane Kiffin and what he's trying to do to scheme up those good counters against a very, very good Penn State defense that won't have its defensive coordinator or star pass rusher, and I combine it with an Ole Miss defense that I don't totally trust, plus we're indoors. I mean, Peach Bowl can be a little bit of fast track. Doesn't matter when you kick off that game. You can get out there and score some touchdowns pretty quickly. I see this one being anything under 50. I'm going to be looking at jumping on the over. So I know you said it's just a lean. I'm not going to hit my Mortal Kombat fight button right here, but I at least I will state that I think that we're going to see a lot more in terms of offense than what this line suggests. And also Penn State, offense was kind of putrid against good teams. But you make the change at offensive coordinator, you got to come into this bowl game. You had 15 practices. You got to build up confidence in Drew Aller. So this might be a good opportunity for them to do that.
Yeah, but is Drew Aller really that good? That's what when I watch Drew Aller in big games against real teams, no offense to most of the Big Ten, he wasn't very good. I mean, is Drew Aller, you know, the next maybe Will Levis, where he takes a step forward as he gets older? Or are we talking another, I don't know, bust as a quarterback? Just a thought.
Emery, what's your read on that?
I think it's tied to the offensive coordinator, because when he got into that game last year against Purdue, it took, what, two throws to be like, why is he not playing over Clifford, right?
Yeah.
So we saw that guy last year, and this guy was playing, you know, 1997 football, right? Just they wouldn't allow him to throw the ball a lot. So I think you got to let him get in there and just air it out. He has a big arm. Let him showcase it. You have receivers that can go out there and go get it. So take your chances in it. You know, so if we hadn't seen him against Purdue last season, I'd agree with you, Eric. But, man, like, we saw something there, and we just didn't see the offense go lean into it this season. That's why everybody was high on Penn State coming to the year, because based on what we saw glimpses of in 2022, I don't know what happened in terms of them closing the playbook up in 2023. So yeah, I think they can go out. He's pretty good. Hopefully this is a showcase, because Penn State, Ole Miss, you know, the two teams we just talked about, Missouri and Ohio State, well, Ohio State mostly, these are schools that still do a great job of recruiting high school talent. So this is a showcase for these top 200 guys that are going to try to get in tow at the next signing day in February.
All right, Emery, I have a question. I want to do just very quickly a Penn State recent quarterback draft, just based on college. Rank them 1 to 4 as far as how you evaluate them. Hackenberg, Trace McSorley, Sean Clifford, Drew Aller, in terms of college talent, how would you draft those four?
I'd probably go Aller at 2, McSorley 1, and then Clifford, and then Hackenberg.
Okay.
Moxie McSorley will have a place in my heart forever. That man could cook. Not the most physically impressive, but man, he had moxie. Shout out to Trace McSorley out there. All right, you see that little logo in the corner? We are powered by BetMGM, and BetMGM has all the action for every sports fan. New BetMGM customers can sign up today and get a first bet offer up to $1,500. I'll say that again. New BetMGM customers can sign up today and get a first bet offer up to $1,500. And if your first bet loses, you will receive, I kid you not, up to $1,500 in bonus bets with the bonus code EDGE1500. That's EDGE1500, and you get a first bet offer up to $1,500. If your first bet loses, you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets with code EDGE1500 from BetMGM. Well, coming up on the other side, we got to keep this thing rolling. We actually do have a lot of opt-outs to talk about in the Orange Bowl. A lopsided spread in that Fiesta Bowl between Liberty and Oregon. A clash of styles. And, of course, our college football playoff matchups. All that and more.
Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Back here on the Early Edge college football playoff, New Year's Six preview show. Whew. I don't know if you gentlemen have seen depth charts, you know, like the depth charts get released, you know, a little bit before, you know, the game is and in the Orange Bowl. I got my release from Florida State University. I don't see Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson. I can't. Look, I kid you not. We've got wide receivers listed at running backs. We've got multiple true freshmen. We've got two walk-ons as the backup at the quarterback because Tate Rudebaker's not going to play either. No Jaheim Bell at tight end. Interestingly enough, as of right now, still see Braden Fisk, the very talented defensive lineman transfer from Western Michigan. Had a good season. See him out there. Looks like Kalen DeLoach is still on there, but no Akeem Dent. Two other starters in the secondary. Meanwhile, the only thing that we're missing as of right now for Georgia is Brock Bowers and Amarius Mims, two players. Mims banged up in the SEC championship game. Bowers obviously, you know, probably came back a little bit early from that injury. So, I mean, this thing was 16.5. Now it's 19.5. Emory, let's get started. What are we doing with Georgia and Florida State as a best bet in this very, very odd Orange Bowl between the Bulldogs and the Seminoles?
I kind of like Florida State's silent protest with all these guys opting out because they didn't get into the postseason. Just like, you know what? We're going to ruin your viewing experience. We're going to make this a sloppy looking game because a lot of our guys are not going to play. And you have to lay these points with Georgia. And it's unfortunate because they were in a no-win situation. Had they gone out there and lost to Georgia, you know, in a close game, people will say, well, see, this is why they wasn't one of the top four. Now they go out there and going to go lose to Georgia. Well, see, this is why they're not in the top four. So it was a no-win situation for Florida State. I'm at the age now where I have to say I'm, you know, I don't understand a lot of the opt-outs. And I get the key guys opting out, but the transfer portal is a weird spot where guys are opting out, and now it has ruined the whole bowl experience. So obviously there need to be some changes there. But for the sake of this point spread, there's no way I'm taking Florida State to cover against Georgia, who's 90% at where they're going to be, and especially up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Yeah, ladies' points with Georgia.
EC, what are we doing?
Chip, I'll be honest. You know I'm an action junkie. If there's a game on, I want to bet it. We got Tulane, Virginia Tech on. You know I got something on. You can't bet this game. You just can't. I'm sorry, but there's just too much going on here. I'm staying away. If I had to put a lean on it, which of course I'm doing, going the under 44.5, because I don't know how Florida State's going to score. I mean, do the Bulldogs care to be here after being left out of the CFP, even though they were definitely one of the best four teams? And Florida State deserved to be in the Final Four. Do they play with a chip on their shoulder, or does it really matter? I mean, I guess if they win this, they could put up a UCF national champs banner, kind of like the Golden, you know, or like the Knights did. I don't know. Nonetheless, how's Florida State going to move the ball against a defense full of 4- and 5-star backups? They're not. This game's just not bettable. I'll stay far away. I can't believe I'm actually giving Florida State points, but I'll say Georgia 24, Florida State 10.
That, by the way, would be a team total under. But look, I've got nine different ways to play this. We go Georgia, we lay the points. And we don't worry about that under. We go Georgia team total over, too. Okay? We're going to keep throwing it out there. And I might even jump in live and keep firing on Georgia time and time again. Because this is a game where something comes to mind. The standard is the standard. Because we're looking at all these opt-outs, and one of them, fifth spot university, they've got everybody crying and opting out. You know who doesn't? Georgia. Because they are going to show up and they're going to remind you who they are. Tough break. Our left tackle goes down in the SEC championship game against one of the best defenses in the entire country. We lose, you know, a couple bad calls don't go our way. But you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to pout about it. We're not going to cry about it. Carson Beck's going to be playing in this game. The Dumas Johnson's going to be playing in this game. I was looking at the defense, and it's funny. They don't have enough draft-eligible players. Some of the nastiest players on this Georgia defense are not draft eligible yet, and they're coming out here looking to make a statement. I think Georgia wipes the floor with the Seminoles in this game. I'll lay the big number. I also like the Georgia team total over. I have no idea what Florida State's going to be able to do in terms of trying to score in this game, but I think that Georgia, 38-0. Like, I think we are talking about the kind of game where start to finish, Georgia just really reminds us all what kind of football that they're playing there in Athens. Big time statement, I think, for the Bulldogs. They handle this odd situation better than the boys in Tallahassee.
Yeah, but wait a second, though, Chip. And Emery, as a former player, like, if you're Florida State, you got left out of the CFP, you're in the, you should have been in the Final Four, you're not. Do you play with a chip on your shoulder to those guys who are talented enough? I mean, we're not talking like, my U of A backups here who are not, who are two and maybe three stars. You're talking four stars for Florida State. Do those guys come out with a chip on their shoulder and say, hey, we have something to play for. We're going to keep this game close. We're going to show you we belonged.
Listen, it's a great question because I know what's probably going on in that locker room. Like, man, it sucks that, Keon is not going to play. Guys transferring out and, they didn't put us in the playoffs. And then like 2 seconds later, like, yo, mom's starting this week. Like, I can't wait. I mean, so those backups are excited as hell. Like those walk-ons are excited as hell. Everyone gets bumped up the depth chart. And this is a game where you can show up and show out. And it helps springboard into next year. So yeah, they're going to be amped. They're going to be ready to go. They're going to play. Unfortunately, they just don't have the depth. And that's where this game is going to look like a Power 5 versus a G5 program where, they'll compete initially in the first quarter, but then that depth starts to kick in. And that's where Georgia at full strength is going to slowly start to pull away. I also like the over in that game too. Because of that reason, we'll see Florida State probably get 10, 13 points, but Georgia's going to continue to roll that ball downhill as that depth starts to wane in, because there's no depth now with Florida State. There's another game that we're going to talk about later that has very little depth in with these guys opting out. So, yeah, they'll be motivated. And guys going to, show remorse in public, but privately they're watching, amply highlights and all that stuff, like trying to get ready to go because they know this is my time to shine now. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how those guys are going to play for the first quarter when it's competitive. But after that, yeah, it's not going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, we got to remember that this is where modern roster construction has the other side. Florida State built itself into a championship contender with the transfer portal, not because they've had year over year of top signing classes. So there's a reason why Mike Norvell has to go in and get 15 to 20 guys in each of the last two off seasons. It's because he feels like the guys that he had weren't going to be able to compete at that championship level. So good luck to Florida State. All right. We've got a New Year's Day, it's kind of an early kickoff, 11 a.m. local time for the Fiesta Bowl. EC, it's too early, right? You can't play the Fiesta Bowl at 11 a.m.
Chip, I have tickets. I go to the Fiesta Bowl every year. They make you buy tickets for this year, so you pay the same price for the quarterfinal and the semifinal the next 2 years. So I don't get, the free tickets. I don't get the free press box, stuff. So I'll tell you what, I will be there for this one. I got to admit, good for Liberty, but I didn't pay all this money to go see Liberty. I do have lower deck tickets.
Hey, that's disrespectful. Disrespectful to the pride of Lynchburg, Virginia. Come on now.
Chip, come on. Would you want to pay hundreds of dollars to watch a complete mismatch? No, I'll be there. But do I want to see it? No, I'm playing the overline. I tell you, I don't see how Oregon doesn't score every time they have the ball. You know, I once said, Chip, I don't know if you remember this on a regular season show, give me liberty or give me death. Not this time. I don't want to die. Listen, one team averaged 44 this season, the other one 41. So we're going to have points in this game. And listen, Liberty's been a nice story, but how are they going to slow down the Bo Nix-led offense? They give up 25, 28, and 35 in their last three against UMass, UTEP, and New Mexico State. If Oregon actually cares, literally they're going to score every time. Actually, but Liberty can backdoor cover here, so be careful of the spread. I'm staying away from that. Also, the winning team in the Fiesta Bowl has scored 35 or more in 10 of their last 13 games. They had 34 in one of those games as well. So usually a high-scoring game. Give me Oregon 49, Liberty 35.
Emory, what you doing with that one?
I'm taking Oregon, and it's bittersweet watching these games now because Liberty can score. Keaton Salter is going to be a pro prospect that we'll talk about next year. Outstanding quarterback. He's fun to watch. He can do a lot of things from a dual threat perspective. The problem is Liberty is going to score points. They're going to have a really good game against Oregon. And then immediately following the game, everybody's going to be in the portal, right? The whole team is going to jump in the portal because, hey, man, we did this against Oregon. I should be playing somewhere else, right? Instead of being where your feet are. And that's the problem I have with today's game. But I do like Oregon because they at least have defense. Liberty can't stop anybody on defense. And it's going to go up and down the field until Oregon starts to tighten up a little bit defensively. And that's when we'll start to see that point spread just continue to expand and they'll be able to cover.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with the Ducks. This is all about leadership. You know, when you see so many key players for Oregon saying, opting in and saying, we want to be a part of this game, that is going to set the tone for your 15 bowl practices. That's going to make sure your mindset is there. You can get in trouble. You can get in trouble on a bowl trip to Glendale, all right? So you got to make sure your senior leader. Listen. I talked to some former players that talked about how the Fiesta Bowl could get a little dicey. If your leadership in that locker room has you focused, then you can avoid, you know, that night out right before
especially
that
coming from Liberty. You know, it can be a problem out there.
Hey, Old Town Scottsdale is nice, don't get me wrong, but I mean they got this live for Liberty. This is their school. I mean, this is the biggest football game they're probably ever going to play in their lives unless they go to the NFL, right? Like these guys are never playing in a game like this again. That's why I think they're going to show up. And we usually see the G5 teams show up for the most part. I mean, you think UCF the other year against Auburn, where everybody thought they would get wiped out. I think Liberty, as Emory said, they can score early and often. Just can they defend?
Yeah, it's going to be tough along the lines of scrimmage. I am also on the Ducks. Okay, you're going to need some Dramamine. And not just because it's New Year's Day and you might not be feeling well. Because I'm going to ask you to put up two screens, all right? On one side, we're going to have the lightning fast Oregon and Liberty. And in the other side, we're going to have Iowa and Tennessee, okay? Just imagine that football whiplash because these two totals are 30 points apart. College football is beautiful because there will be two games on New Year's Day. One of them has a total of 67.5. One of them has a total of 35.5. This line was up at 8.5. And Emory, this is interesting to me. It was at 8.5. It's dropped to 6.5 as we gather. And the major news development that I see is that it is actually something that Tennessee fans have been asking for, which of course is Nico. Who's got it? Do you have it? Iamaleava.
I can't. I heard it. And now I butchered it, but listen, the way they talked about this dude since, you know, throwing in pajamas at 7:07, I'm excited to see it. Like he better come out and go 30 for 30. We better see T. Martin versus South Carolina in this ball game. You know, I'm excited to see it because he's supposed to be the future. And I like that this is an element of bowl season where you can play your freshman and not lose that red shirt. So I think, based off his talent, based off the high school film I watched of him, based off the hype, I think they'll do fine. And again, you could beat Iowa 10-0 and cover, right? Or 7-0 now that the spread has dropped to 6.5. So I love Tennessee here. I think we can see Tennessee get 7 points against Iowa and Iowa stay at 0. Iowa's offense is not good at all. And that's putting it nicely. So Tennessee's defense can really puff his chest out and say, look, we shut down Iowa. Because to your point earlier, Chip, in the box scores 3 decades from now, it'll say Tennessee blanks Iowa in the bowl game. No one's going to remember Iowa's offense averaged 0.3 points a game. So, yes, ladies' points with Tennessee.
Ia Maleava. We're getting you set for the 2024 season. Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
All right. EC, what are we doing?
Yeah, listen, you guys can agree with me on this one. I think Iowa's the worst 10-win team in the history of college football. I don't think – can anybody disagree with that? They're awful. With that said, does Tennessee really care about this game? You know, they had a lot higher hopes than to end up in whatever this iteration of, I think this is the Outback Bowl, right? It used to be the Outback Bowl.
It's the Citrus Bowl. The ReliaQuest is the old Outback. So the battle for Bloomin' Onion and coconut shrimp, because remember, nothing says Big Ten like coconut shrimp.
Big Ten was the coconut shrimp.
SEC was the Bloomin' Onion. And that's why we all got Bloomin' Onions. Yeah, the Outback Bowl is now the ReliaQuest Bowl.
I can never keep my Florida Bowl game sponsors together. I do know the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I do love NC State, by the way. I know we're not talking about that. All right, Iowa has won 4 of their last 5 bowls. And last year, don't forget, they shut out an SEC team 21-0. It's Kentucky, but it is what it is. And they are 4-0-1 against the spread in those 5 bowl games. Tennessee this year, 0-3 straight up against ranked teams. They're only averaging 12.3 points a game. I probably should have bet the under, but sadly, I'm going to take Iowa with the points, Tennessee 17, Iowa 13.
I am not a fan of body shaming, but I will admit that if you follow our work on the Cover 3 podcast, you've been well aware of Fat Joe Milton, a.k.a. Deacon Hill. You know, Fat Joe Milton, of course, being that he's got the same huge arm, lack of accuracy, but if everything's dialed in, then it might work out. I'm very sad we don't get to see Joe Milton against Fat Joe Milton, but I think Deacon Hill's going to pull my pants in, and we're just going to be sitting there watching Deacon Hill and his Christmas hams scoring touchdowns. So give me the Hawkeyes. I think that a freshman quarterback making his first career start against a defense that loves to confuse quarterbacks with pre-snap movement and lure you into interceptions, I think that's a bad spot for the Vols, very tricky spot for the Vols. I'll take Iowa, and I will take the points. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a couple big games left. They're games that happen on New Year's Day. They're games of great significance because they're going to decide the national championship. So coming up on the other side, we'll break them on down. Our angles, X factors, and best bets for Alabama, Michigan in the Rose Bowl and Texas, Washington in the Sugar Bowl next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back here on the Early Edge, powered by Sportsline, sponsored by BetMGM. We'll get things started 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern time with the Rose Bowl, Alabama and Michigan. EC, Michigan, kind of a machine. You know, there's not a lot of variance, you know, like so predictable that they ran the ball 30 times in a row in one of the biggest games in the year. If you were to take Alabama's 2023 season and like grade them by how good they were to Alabama standards, I mean, it's just all over the place. I mean, they showed their best, they showed their worst, but they had their best at the right time going up against the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC championship. So how do we take the consistency of Michigan with the inconsistency of Alabama and apply it to our expectations for the Rose Bowl?
All right. So here's the way I look at this game, Chip. Alabama's season changed on one play. 4th-and-31 against Auburn. The season is over if they lose that. You need a miracle, and they got it. And then things change. They come out the next week with their hair on fire, and they beat Georgia. So we're not talking about the Alabama team that we saw for the first 11 weeks and 58 minutes. We're talking about a different team, in my opinion. Jim Harbaugh, 0-6, straight up in his last six bowl games. I was at the Fiesta Bowl last year. I saw what they did against TCU. It was an absolute garbage defensive game plan. Nick Saban is the GOAT. There's no better coach in the history of college football than Nick Saban. And oh, by the way, he's won six straight college football playoff semis. How do you take Michigan here? Who is Michigan played outside of Ohio State? We talked about Penn State earlier. They're not that good. Who has Michigan played? What have you seen? I saw UNLV last night. Was that one of Michigan's better wins? They stunk. They gave up 200. Kansas had 200 billion yards of penalties, and they still lost. Kansas still covered the spread against UNLV. Sorry, but Michigan hasn't played anybody. Alabama's battle-tested. I'm going with Alabama here. If I lose based on the numbers, I lose. Alabama 20, Michigan 17.
Emery?
This is simply put, boils down to who you trust more in a tight spot, Jalen Milroe or J.J. McPurdy, right? So I am taking Jalen Milroe because he has the ultimate X factor. At any point in time, he could take off and it'll be a house call. McCarthy, I think what happens to him I think the reason why you saw a lot of people push back on J.J. McCarthy, I know it was split right down the middle. Some people's like, he's a first-round pick, and some people's like, let's hold off a little bit. Because those people on that side of the fence where I stood just kind of still has that TCU game and those two out routes to the far hash fresh in our minds. Like, man, when you get pressured and that ball comes out late and behind, it is going back the other way. We know the way to stop Michigan is stop the run and make J.J. McCarthy beat you consistently throwing the football. Guess what Alabama is going to do? Despite not doing it great this year, they're going to stop Michigan's run because Michigan plays like how Alabama played when they just started that run, when they had the Eddie Lacy's and all those guys. They ran the ball, played good defense, and play action pass, timely shots downfield. This is going to be easier for them to stop. It's going to be a physical game. I may like the under here, but when you have a guy that's an explosive talent that handles the ball every play, I'm taking that guy 10 times out of 10.
Let's right there with you. I am also on Alabama here, and I think about the lack of defensive backs on Michigan's schedule who have that put their hands on you like Alabama does. Because Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, like Caleb Downs, you know, comes down and mainly making stops in the run, but he's just a center fielder guarding everything over the middle. I just think that these Michigan wide receivers are going to have to work, and there's just not going to be any margin for error. I'm right there with you. I think that you see Alabama first and foremost make sure that they have the bodies to stop the run. But when it is time for J.J. McCarthy to take aim, he doesn't play a lot of secondaries that have what Alabama has in terms of physicality and overall skill. And I think that is just this Alabama defense is going to be the key. And I mean, you mentioned it. One of these coaches has not only lost six straight bowl games, but also not covered in six straight bowl games. And that'd be Jim Harbaugh. And like you also mentioned, DC, college football playoff semifinals, and any situation since arriving at Alabama when Nick Saban has a month to prepare. Only one loss. All of those wins and only one loss. When that would be BCS national championship games and college football playoff semifinals. I just think that Alabama is going to have Michigan's number. And you know what? If they don't, sorry to go a little long here, but something happened in the SEC championship game. Remember Georgia just marched it right down their throats on the very first drive? And you know what Nick Saban said? He's like, all right, boys, we're just going to play cover two. Like, let's just let our players, you know, the guys I just mentioned, you know, and of course, like Dallas Turner on the outside, Braswell up front, you know, like we're just going to turn our guys loose and let them go play. He trusts his players. I mean, there's just no overcoaching with the greatest of all time. Yeah, give me Saban. I also like the under on that one as well. Then we go to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl, a game that doesn't have it. I am excited for this one because it doesn't have all the weight, right? This is a football game between two really, really good football teams. Like, we don't have the Saban and Harbaugh and, you know, like all this extra stuff. Like, let's kick it off and let's go see who can go make more plays. Quinn Ewers or Michael Penix Jr. Let's see who can go make more plays. You know, whether it is the Texas wide receivers or whether it is the Washington wide receivers. What defense is going to show up? What offensive line is going to dominate? Are we going to see Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy bottle up this Washington ground game led by Dylan Johnson? Emery, what's your expectation here? How are you attacking what I think should be a very fun game in the Superdome on Monday night?
Yeah, I'm going right to where I've gone all show long, line of scrimmage. And that, to me, favors Texas. I feel like Texas has finally got it right on both sides of the ball. They look like the Texas of the Colt McCoy era, the Vince Young era in terms of point of attack play. They're strong right in the battery, center guard, D-tackle, backer, safety. That's where they're going to have control of this game. And, again, Washington's defense, I need to know beforehand which Washington defense is going to show up. Because sometimes you may get the one that is ready to go and stop people, or you might get the one that just got together that day on Saturday and lined up 11 and went out there and just hoped for the best. I think we'll see Texas be able to throw the ball deep against Washington, and we'll see them be able to collapse the pocket around Michael Penix, who's not the runner that other quarterbacks are. And I think in this game versus that defensive line's ability to smother, collapse the pocket around him, it'll make things very tough for Washington on a consistent basis. So I do like Texas. I'm laying the four.
EC, what are you doing?
All right. So, Chip, we're 40 minutes into the show, and I have not I have not mentioned my alma mater. But it's out the way. Listen, I saw Washington in person in Tucson on September 30th, and they beat Arizona. They won by a touchdown, and they really controlled the game. Michael Penix didn't have a touchdown. They had four rushing touchdowns. Washington was good. But if the Pac-12 had their old rules, in my opinion, Arizona beats Washington in the Pac-12 championship game. I have not been that impressed with the Huskies since midseason at most. The win over Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game was impressive. Remember, they should have lost the first time in Seattle. They're playing with house money. With that said, I think Texas is the better team. Plus, we have a revenge factor. From last year, Texas lost in this game to Washington in the Alamo Bowl, which, by the way, I'm picking my alma mater. You can check out that pick at Sportsline.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to get it in. Last year, Washington won this match at 27-20. Both of these offenses are legit, but let's not sleep on the defenses. Texas, fourth best in the nation against the run, giving up less than 81 yards rushing per game. So it's basically Michael Penix has to beat him, and that's that. It doesn't benefit in Texas for Texas to engage in a shootout. It's been a great season for Washington, but I think it comes to an end against a more well-rounded team who owns, by the way, the best victory over a team all season in college football, that win in Tuscaloosa. Give me Texas 30, Washington 23, but I'm playing the under 63.5 as my top play in this game.
If we jump in a time machine and travel back maybe, like, I don't know, 5-6 years, and I tell you that Steve Sarkisian is the coach who was going to lead Texas to its first Big 12 title since 2009 and its best season since they were competing for national championships with Colt McCoy there, you wouldn't believe it. But Emery's right. It's at the line of scrimmage. He came out of that Alabama program, and he said, I know what a team needs to look like. If I'm going to lead Texas into the SEC, we have to have difference makers on both sides of the ball at the lines of scrimmage. That is where this game will be won. I know that the Texas is coming out of the Big 12, but to me, this is an SEC-type team in a big game where they're just going to rely on the line of scrimmage, and that's where Texas is going to be able to win this thing. I think that Steve Sarkisian's done an incredible job with this program recruiting. I thought in the Big 12 title game, he was in his bag with those first 15 plays, just coming out with like everything perfectly scripted and ready to go. Him and Quinn Ewers on the same page. These are two incredible offensive coaches too. You know, Kalen DeBoer, Steve Sarkisian, you know, they're going to know each other's tendencies. It's going to be an amazing, amazing watch, but ultimately Texas is the better team. They're better built along the lines of scrimmage. And while they had their own inconsistencies as well, I am going to go hook them for the Sugar Bowl. All right. Any final last words here? EC, I'll let you go first. Before we hit the recap screen, any final words on the?
Yeah, of course. Of course, Chip. We have the biggest bowl game that I'm very angry with producer Jake that he did not include the biggest bowl game out of the 43 games that we have, the Alamo Bowl tomorrow night. This is a championship game, as a player on Arizona's defense described it. Arizona, Oklahoma, lay the 2.5, take the Wildcats, 34-27. There you go. Good luck to your Tar Heels today. I like West Virginia. What can I say?
You know, so Carolina fans sold me out. They don't even want me anymore. That's fine. Emory, any final word, any expectations, what you're looking at here over the next couple days of bowl games?
Just a big picture message to all the student athletes out there. Sometimes it's beneficial to be a big fish in a small pond and try to thrive where your feet are. You know, there's no downside into developing, learning, working your way through the process, and ultimately coming out on top. That success will sustain itself more so than just popping around to different programs all across. So small school guys, thrive in your area. Guys that are at the big level, kind of work your way through that adversity and come out on top in the end.
Hey, and if you are, in this category, student athlete, let me just say for you, if you don't mind, that the hard work and the commitment that it takes to do what you're doing right now, Emory, to do what we're doing, you don't learn that bouncing around from place to place to place. You know, you got to have that commitment. It can be something you can carry with you on into the rest of your life. Well, as always, well, first let's check out the recap screen right here. Eric Cohen, EC, is on Ohio State -3, Liberty, Oregon over 67.5, Alabama on the money line, and the Washington, Texas under 63.5. Emory says, give me Eli Drinkwitz, the alpha nerd, and Missouri on the field. Money line win against Ohio State. I've got Ohio State -3, Ole Miss, Penn State over 48.5, Georgia -19.5, Oregon -17, Iowa +6.5, Alabama +1.5, and Texas -4. As always, whether it's college football, whether it's picks from us or anyone else, you can find them at its sports line. It's the best deal in sports betting, and it's not even close. For Emory Hunt and Eric Cohen, I'm Chip Patterson. Y'all be well.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.